You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I was out of pocket over the weekend, so missed much of the news that was breaking all around the country and indeed all around the world. Came back last night. Stories of attacks in Minnesota, New York, New Jersey, unfolding as I turned on the television. The collapse of the caliphate and some increased terrorist attacks in Europe, and then the killing of 25 by a suicide bomber in a Pakistani mosque. Is there a theme or an idea that holds all of these tragic stories over the weekend together? Joining us to talk about these stories on this Monday afternoon, September the 19th, Robert Spencer. He's a regular guest, director of Jihad Watch, and author of several books on Islam, including The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS and his latest publication, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, thank you very much.
Is there a story or a narrative that ties together all of this violence that we have witnessed over this weekend?
Well, certainly there is. The ideology of jihad, of the Islamic imperative to wage war against and subjugate unbelievers, which is rooted in the Quran. And then there is the specific call from the Islamic State to make war against and attack American civilians, a specific call to individual Muslims. It appears that the New York and New Jersey bombs were set there by a cell, but that the mall attacker in Minnesota was acting alone. But he was, as he was called by the Islamic State, a soldier of the Islamic State. He was aware of their call to attack American civilians and was doing what he thought was an act of obedience to his God.
What is the caliphate that has been hoped for by the Islamic State, and why does its failure to materialize, so to speak, why does it seem to come with increased violence?
Well, the Islamic State, as far as they're concerned, has already established the caliphate. They have declared on June 29th, 2014, that they were the caliphate. The caliphate is, according to Sunni Muslim theology, the only legitimate government for Muslims worldwide. And that claim has resonated so much with Muslims around the world that 30,000 Muslims from 100 countries have gone to Iraq and Syria to join the Islamic State. But as they have started to lose territory in Iraq and Syria, they have been transferring their emphasis to attacks in other countries. And so that September 2014 call to attack American civilians and civilians in Western Europe is something that more and more Muslims are taking seriously here, because it has become the focus of the emphasis of the Islamic State in recent months as they have lost territory in their home base.
So a failure to keep the gains that they had early on territorially has shifted the focus of their violence outside their territories they hold.
Yes, exactly.
But was this always part of their game plan, always to wage war on a thousand, 10,000 fronts at once?
Yes, it was. I mean, the call to civilians, as I've said, the call to Muslims to wage war against American civilians comes from September 2014. In September 2014, they were still gaining territory in Iraq and Syria and had their opponents on the run. So it was hardly something that was tied at that time to their losing. But now, because they are losing in those areas, or at least being driven back to some degree, they are shifting the emphasis, and there are even people who have left that area and have come back west. And that is, of course, an ongoing concern that law enforcement have, has that these guys are going to come back battle-hardened, trained, and determined, and be ready to set off jihad attacks here.
Can you explain the what appears to be Muslim-on-Muslim violence in Pakistan with this suicide bomber in a mosque there?
Well, Islam has a death penalty for heresy. And so really any group that is so minded will attack another group because they will consider that that group is heretical. And so when Muslims attack in a mosque, it doesn't mean, as Barack Obama claims, that they're non-Muslim. It means that they don't consider the people in the mosque to be sufficiently Muslim. They think that they have deviated from the faith in some important way, and so they have to be punished with the death penalty.
And that's essentially, as you said, a death sentence against what they consider to be heresy?
Yes, exactly. That they consider that the Muslims in that mosque, what happened in that particular instance was this, that the Muslims in that area had actually attacked and killed a couple of jihadis. They killed one, I believe, and captured and imprisoned another. And so the jihadis consider they are heretics because they're rebelling against these people who are fighting for Allah. They're waging war against Allah and his messenger, and that carries a death sentence. So they had to go and blow up the mosque.
What kind of reaction does this get from those who are regarded by, within Islam, who are regarded by the Islamic State as heretics? What reaction are they hoping for? What does it actually produce?
Well, what they're hoping for is that they will strike terror into the hearts of the enemies of Allah, which is another Islamic imperative, and bring them around, that they will say, you are right, we see that we are wrong, and we will stop opposing you. Of course, human nature rarely, if ever, works that way. And so what they usually do is they inspire calls for revenge. And then there's an attack on the opposing mosque. And that just breeds more calls for more revenge.
Is the term terrorism, which we've been hearing in the news reports all weekend long, is that term adequate to describe what we are witnessing here in the United States, in Islamic countries, and in Europe?
I don't think so, Todd. The reality is terrorism is a tactic that can be employed and has been employed by many, many different kinds of groups. What we need to do is stop the official denial about the ideology motivating these attacks, which just doesn't exist as far as Barack Obama is concerned. It's simply something that is not there. But we cannot defeat an enemy we don't understand. And until we start calling this one by its right name and dealing with it in a realistic manner, we will continue to suffer this kind of attack.
People say, look, this is the United States. We're protected by two oceans, by a friendly neighbor to the north and some friendly neighbors to the south. How is this happening among us? How is this still happening 15 years after September 11th here on our shores? How would you answer that question?
Well, the main reason why it's still happening is because of the denial and the willful ignorance regarding the ideology of the enemy and our refusal to deal with that ideology has made it impossible for us to formulate strategies that adequately counter it. And Barack Obama, his press secretary just today, was saying, this is a war of narratives and we have to counter the ISIL, as he calls them, narratives. And I was thinking, when have you ever done that? You don't even admit that it exists, much less counter it. You don't even acknowledge what it is that they believe, because if you do, you'll be talking about Islam. And so it just keeps going. It just makes it more difficult to defeat. And so we have to change that culture in Washington and start to deal with this threat realistically.
Before we let you go, Robert, tell us about your latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran.
Iran is the greatest threat to the United States right now. It is a nation with a formidable fighting force. Obviously, they couldn't beat us head-to-head, but they are working through a global campaign of subversion and infiltration to weaken the United States and to ultimately confront and destroy it, which they're already starting to do routinely in the Persian Gulf, confront American troops there. And so the Islamic Republic of Iran, very few people know what it's all about and what they're trying to do. And that's what the book illuminates.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS and his latest publication, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. Find links to both of them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, as well as Jihad Watch. Robert, thank you very much for being our guest.
Todd, a pleasure. Thank you.
Rita Marker will be with us on the other side of the break. You might have seen the story about a minor euthanized in Belgium. Is that a big story? Is it a stepping stone or a milestone for the advocates of euthanasia worldwide? We'll get an answer to that question right after this. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.